We're going to be in 1 John chapter 5 to start out. The old rugged cross. Hey, you got to come to the cross. Don't wait till it's too late. Don't wait till it's too late. You have breath. You can come today. You might not have breath an hour from now. It'll be too late. You got to come to the cross of Calvary. And when you do, you know what happens? He gives you eternal life. He gives you everlasting life. That's the kind of life that doesn't perish. That's the kind of life that He doesn't take away. He gives you eternal life. That's what we're going to look at today. Eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Here we're going to start out here in 1 John chapter 5, looking at verse number 9 here. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 9. The Bible says, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of the Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know, K-N-O-W, know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Eternal life. It's forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. But I do come to you now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me with your Spirit here right now today. Lord, I pray you use me. I pray you give me your words. I pray you give me clarity of thought here to do what only you can do, and that's to speak to your people here today. But Lord, maybe there is somebody here that's never received eternal life, has never received everlasting life. They don't know if they died today, Lord, that they would wake up in hell and in the torments of hell. And Lord, I pray that if there is somebody here today, that they will not leave this place without receiving you as their Savior and getting eternal life. Lord, we love you and we'll give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, isn't it wonderful that we can be saved? Isn't it wonderful? Is there anything better than being saved? Yes, there is. What is it, you say? Well, it's being saved and knowing that you're saved. Well, is there anything better than being saved and knowing that you're saved? Yes, there is. It's being saved, knowing that you're saved, and knowing you could never lose your salvation. That's the glorious truth of this Bible that we hold in our hands. It is one of the essential doctrines that distinguishes all of the false religions in the world until the true religion of Jesus Christ. Eternal security, also known as once saved, always saved, it is that belief that at that very moment you get born again, at that very moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, that very moment you get saved, you are saved from hell for all of eternity and you can never lose your salvation. Now, before we discuss why the Christian is eternally secure, we need to understand some things. We need to be on the same page. We need to define our terms. So what is a Christian? Okay, a Christian. I'm not going by what the world's definition of a Christian here. We're going to go by God's word of a Christian here. You see, a Christian is one who has received Jesus Christ as their Savior by faith. A Christian is trusting Jesus Christ alone for salvation. They're not trusting in works. They're not trusting in baptism. They're trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says in John chapter 3, He references this person as being born again. You see, this is the person that can never lose their salvation. But you might ask, what about those people who came to church, who were in church, that they walked an aisle, they may have prayed a prayer, they may have even gotten baptized. What about those people that may have looked Christian, but now they're all in the world? Well, I would answer that they may have not ever been truly born again. You're in 1 John 5. Just flip over for a second to 1 John chapter 2 and look there at verse 19. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us, 1 John chapter 2 and verse 19 tells us, It says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. You see, they were in the church. They looked good. They wore the part. They said the right things, but they were never, never born again. They may have professed Christ. They may have been baptized, like I said. They may have even joined the church. You see, these people didn't lose their salvation. They never had it to begin with. They never had it to begin with. So today I want to look at this eternal security. Eternal security of the believer. Once saved, always saved. There's many different words for it. But eternal security, everlasting life. Okay, I want to look at that. First thing I want you to see here is I want to see what Jesus says about eternal life. All right, what does Jesus say about eternal life? If you flip over to John, regular John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and right there, and we're going to start in John chapter 1 and verse number 1. All right, we're going to look and see what does Jesus say about everlasting life, eternal life. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." You see, Jesus Christ is God. You can go down to verse 14 and it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." When did God take on flesh? In the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus came and to be a man, 100% God, 100% man. He is God. He created all things. We got to get that. That's where we got to start. He created all things. He created male and He created female, two genders. He created you. He created me. And listen, He is the one that determines the requirements for eternal life. He is the one who sets the parameters of how to get to heaven, not man. Man has been created. He created man. God, Jesus Christ is God. He dictates who gets to heaven. It is His standards. We got to know His standards. So we're going to look here. What does Jesus say about eternal life? You see, when I was in the military, we had standards. We had rules. We had regulations. We had guidelines. Air Force instructions. We even had guidelines on dress. The Air Force dictated how we were to dress. Okay? Jesus is going to dictate how you're going to get to heaven. Not man, Jesus. If you look there in John chapter 3, we're going to go through this. John chapter 3, look there starting in verse 14. All right, John chapter 3 and verse 14, because we got to get on the same page of what Jesus says about eternal life. Okay? In John chapter 3 and verse 14, the Bible says, "And Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him," get this, "should not perish, but have eternal life." Verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You notice those words, not perish, everlasting life. They mean that. Jesus means, He meant what He said. He said what He meant. That means everlasting life. All right? God proved His love. He proved it by doing the most perfect thing He could do. He proved it in the most perfect way possible. He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die for the sins of the whole world. He didn't just die for the Jews. He died for every person, the Gentiles, you and me. He died for everybody. He gave His Son to die for the sins of the whole world. Why? So that you and I could get eternal life. So that we could have everlasting life. Jesus said, "Whosoever believeth in Him will not perish." And He means that. He means you will not perish if you have Jesus Christ. That means if you do not have Jesus Christ, you will perish. You see, every person will live for eternity in one of two places. You will live for eternity either in heaven or eternity in hell. The choice is ours. Right? We live unto eternal life in heaven, but in hell it's eternal death. The Bible says in Revelation 20, 14 and 15, "And death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Hey, look, the lake of fire must be a lot hotter. hey, the lake of fire must be a lot more torment, because not only does God take death, but He takes all of hell and puts it into the lake of fire. Right? You want everlasting life. You want the life that Jesus gives, eternal life. You'll never die, and only Jesus Christ can give that life. Only Jesus Christ for all of eternity. He gives eternal life. Look there. Flip over to John chapter 4 now. John chapter 4. In John chapter 4, look there in verses 13 and 14. Right, the account of the woman at the well, here in verse 13, and Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Hey, I drink this water, but I thirst again. Okay? In verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Hey, what is this water? Can I get some? I want some of this everlasting water, right? It is living water. It's the only water that will quench your thirst. This water doesn't quench my thirst, right? I need the living water. I want to never thirst. You see, you and I, there's two kinds of thirst. Right, there's a physical thirst, and there's a spiritual thirst, right? And many people try to quench the spiritual thirst with the physical, and it doesn't work, does it? Right? We try to indulge ourselves in the world and in the lusts of the world, the immorality, the drunkenness of the world. We try to please our flesh that way, and that never quenches our thirst. Right? We go to these stagnant waters of the world, and you know anything about water? Stagnant water is deadly, right? It's not good. It's bad. It can kill you, right? And we go to these stagnant waters of the world looking to quench our spiritual aspect, and it doesn't work like that. Jesus says, you come to Him and you'll never thirst. It is a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You see, those kinds of waters, the world's waters, the stagnant waters, those waters there are like salt water, right? They only make you more thirsty. The crave for more. But the living water comes from Jesus Christ. The living water keeps a soul from ever thirsting again. And it springs up into everlasting life. Hey, do you want everlasting life? Because I'm telling you here today that everlasting life does not end. It is eternal, it is everlasting, and you know what else? Nobody can take it away from you. You can't lose it, you can't give it back. Hey, it is eternal, it is everlasting. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Bible says, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Hey, whosoever will, come. Jesus says, whosoever will, come. Drink of this water. Hey, what I'm saying is this. Only Jesus Christ can quench your thirst. Only Jesus can quench your thirst. Nobody else can. And when He quenches your thirst, He gives you everlasting life. Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Moving on, look there, go over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, look at verse 24. In John chapter 5, hey, these are all great verses, right? A lot of these verses, salvation verses, right? A lot of these verses are assurance of salvation. Not only salvation, assurance of salvation, right? John chapter 5 and verse 24. The Bible says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what kind of life? Everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Hey, the result of being saved, when you get saved, you get eternal life. You get everlasting life. And if you're saved, you have passed from death unto life. Is that not a glorious promise? You are passed from death unto life, from condemnation to justification. He has forgiven me of my sins. He has made me a new creature. He has made me, He has justified me, made me as though I've never sinned. Just as if I'd never sinned. Hey, could Jesus make it any clearer? I mean, this is a real thing. There's Baptist churches that teach you can lose your salvation. Right? It's not there. Could Jesus not be any more clear? Eternal life means what he says. Eternal life. It's everlasting life. All right, move on. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Look there, starting in verse number 35. In John chapter 6, starting there in verse number 35. John 6, 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Verse 36. But I said unto you, that ye also have seen me and believe not. 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and listen, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Hey, you come to Jesus Christ, He saved you, He's not going to kick you out. He's not going to turn you away. He's not going to slam the door in your face. He's not going to cast anybody out. He clearly said that anybody who comes to Him, He will not cast you out. Is that not a glorious promise? Hey, people can cast us out all the time in our life, right? Family can cast us out. Friends can cast us out. They can not want to talk to us anymore, right? When I got saved, we lost friends, but they weren't really friends, right? Right? There was separation, friends and family, okay? But Jesus doesn't cast you out. Jesus doesn't get rid of you, right? My kids act up. They get in trouble. I don't cast my kids out. I ask, are you messed up? You're no longer my son. No, right? You're still my son. Right? Jesus is the same way. I will not cast you out. That is a glorious, glorious promise, right? Listen, our assurance of salvation is as good as Jesus' word. You get that? It's as good as His word, and His word is perfect, okay? Our assurance, our salvation is not based on our feelings. Now, you're here today and you're like, man, I just don't feel good today. I don't feel good. Maybe I'm not saved, right? It's not based on my feelings. It's based on God's word. What does the Word say? What does Jesus' Word say? His Word does not change. It never changes. It's the same today as it was yesterday, as it was in the time of Paul, as it ever was. His Word is true, and our salvation is based on Jesus' Word, period. And you know what else? He cannot lie. He cannot lie. Listen, at any point in these verses that we've read so far, Jesus could have said, hey, if you mess up, I'm going to take it away. Hey, if you mess up, it's no longer eternal life. It's only temporary life. But have you ever read in your Bible where He did that? I've not read that. It's not in the Bible, right? He gives everlasting life. You are safe. You're secure with Jesus. No other person, place, or thing can offer you that kind of security. Not even a presidential candidate can offer you those kinds of promises. Only Jesus Christ. Flip over to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, looking at what did Jesus say about everlasting life, eternal life. In John chapter 10, there in verse number 9, Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life. You get that? And that they might have it more abundantly. Hey, eternal life, everlasting life, it is life given from Jesus Christ. He is that door. You must enter in through Him. You cannot come some other way. Religion isn't going to get you there. The church isn't going to get there. The baptismal isn't going to get there. Jesus Christ is the only door that you can come through. And when you come through that door, He gives you everlasting life, and He doesn't ever take it away. It's everlasting. Look there at verse 27. Here's some of my most favorite passages of Scripture. In John chapter 10, verse 27, He tells you again, hey, and He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And they follow me. Hey, He's talking to the Christian. Hey, the Christian follows Jesus. The Christian hears His voice. The Christian follows Him. Verse 28 says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. You get that? You got to get it. Eternal life means eternal life. You're not going to perish means you're not going to perish. It's right there. Jesus says it. He says, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And then He says this. He says, I and my Father are one. Right? And then the Jews grab stones and they're going to stone Him. Right? Because He claimed to be God. Right? hey, there's glorious eternal security of the believer, glorious eternal life. It's not temporary life. Nobody can cause you to lose your salvation because God is greater than all men. Right? And it's like this. You get saved, Jesus has you in the palm of His hand. You're in the palm of His hand. Are you getting out of that? No, you're not getting out of that. And then He says, God, you're in God's hand as well. So God comes along, wraps you in His hand. Are you getting out of that? You're in Jesus' hand, God's hand. And then the Holy Spirit got to get in it, right? The Holy Spirit comes in Ephesians 4:30 and says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. You're sealed until that day where you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. You're sealed. You're not getting out. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It's the good life. All right? It's that good life. Looking here just at what did Jesus say about eternal life. Hey, He said, the just shall live by faith. Only Jesus is eternal life. And I'm not calling Jesus a liar, are you? All right, let's give you another one here. Let's look at what Paul said. What did Paul write about eternal life? We know that Paul wrote at least half of the New Testament. Okay? Paul wrote at least half of the New Testament. But what did Paul write? If you flip over to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, look there in verse 28 and 29 of Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now that word predestination, to predestinate, it means to destine, to foreordain, or to predetermine, all right? This is a glorious picture of what God is doing to those that have been born again for each person. Right? He is conforming us to the image of His Son. He is conforming us. He is making us into be more like Him. More like Jesus Christ. You see, we shall be made just like Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, He's still working on me. Okay? All right, brother? He's still working on me. All right? He's still working on you too. But here's the thing. God knows who will get saved. He knows who will believe on Him. And when you do believe on Him, once you get saved, He predestines you to be more like Him. Okay? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. Consider it done. He is going to do what He can. He saved us not to continue in our old lifestyle. He didn't save us to leave us in our sin. He didn't save us to continue on in our sin. He saved us to be more like Jesus Christ. In 1 John 3:2, the Bible says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. We shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We'll be like Him. Hey, listen, no more falling short. No more falling short of the glory of God, right? No more letting Him down. But listen, eternal life, everlasting life, it means that. It means for all of eternity. It means that my sins are gone. My sins have been forgiven. I can never go to hell. Amen? If I'm saved, I never can go to hell. You might tell me to go there, but by God's Word, I can't go there because I've been born again by the Bible, right? Philippians 1:6. Says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He's going to continue that. As long as you have breath, He's going to continue working in your life. So what does that mean? Hey, that means you're going to have storms. That means you're going to have trials. That means it's not going to be the easy high life all the time. Right? Things are going to come that are going to make us, one of two things, draw us closer to God. That's what He wants. Or secondly, to pull us away from God, to pull us into the world, okay? He wants to conform us to the image of His Son, and He'll do that through trials and storms and tribulations and different things to get us more like Him. But you see this here, the promise is when God saves you, He does it eternally, and He seals the deal with the Holy Spirit, amen? You're in Romans still. If you would, turn Romans chapter 8. Look there at verse number 38. There is nothing that can separate a born-again believer in the Lord Jesus Christ from God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 38, The Bible says, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Amen. There is nothing that can come between you and steal your eternal life. Nothing can come in between you and the Lord and take away your everlasting life. Nothing in this world can separate you from the love of God. You see, Christ paid that penalty to secure eternal life. The penalty has been paid. He paid it all on the cross of Calvary. He died there. He was buried. He rose again the third day. And in Hebrews 7:25, the Bible says, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost." To save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him. Think about it. To save us to the uttermost. Nothing can come in between us. Nothing can take us away. He doesn't temporarily save us. He eternally saves us. That is the security of the believer. Once saved, always saved, right? Hey, there are no teachings in the Bible, in the New Testament, in the Bible, about losing your salvation, and nobody in the Bible has ever been reborn again. Okay? But let me give you a third thing here. What does salvation teach about eternal life? What does salvation teach about eternal life? If you could flip over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 and 9. You probably know these verses. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 and 9. Salvation has always been by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says, Ephesians 2, 8, 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast," right? Salvation is grace through faith, meaning it's unmerited, meaning it is undeserved, meaning it is a gift of God, meaning that it is a gift, okay? Nothing to do with my goodness, nothing to do with any of my works. So listen, if it were possible for me to lose my salvation, which it's not, if it were, that means that I would have had to do something to get it. I'd have had to worked at it, earned it, something to get it if I could lose my salvation. But that's not it. That's not it. A gift is of grace. In Romans 11:6, the Bible says, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, works is no more works." Hey, listen, salvation is either grace or works. Which is it? It cannot be both. The Bible says it's by grace. All these false religions want to say it's through works. You got to do this and this and this. And at the end of the day, they still don't even know if they're going to heaven or not. Because they're going the wrong way. They're on the wrong path. If you could be saved by doing something, then God would no longer be necessary, would He? If Jesus Christ didn't have to die, if you could do something, then why did Jesus die on the cross? Why did God send Him to die? Listen, the problem people have with grace is this. This is the problem people have with grace. They say, "Well, if you murder somebody, then you don't deserve to go to heaven." But get this, you don't deserve to go to heaven anyway. None of us do, right? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us. It's a free gift. The Bible says you must receive Him. He paid it all on the cross. Salvation teaches us that it is by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always has and always will be. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed God. A man is justified by faith, not the deeds of the law. If you could turn real quick to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. And look there, verse 16. In verse 16, the Bible says, in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, the Bible tells us right there, "Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith of Christ and not by the works of the law." Look down at verse 21. 21 says, "I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ died in vain." Hey, look, the law does one thing. Law points us to one place, that I can't keep the law. That I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short of the law. The law is my schoolmaster to show me that I am a sinner. If I could be saved by keeping the law, then Jesus died in vain. He died for no reason. He died for no purpose. Listen, salvation is by faith. It's by faith. It's not in keeping the law. It's not in being good enough. In Acts 13:39, the Bible says, "And by Him, all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses." Look, you can never be justified by the law because you always fall short of the law. Nobody could keep the law. Jesus Christ is the only person who ever kept the law. And He's God. 100% God, 100% man. That's how it is, right? Jesus Christ was sacrificed one time. He was sacrificed one time for the sins of the whole world. In Hebrews chapter 10, in verse number 14, the Bible says, "For by one suffering He hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." One time, right? One time. You come to Jesus Christ for salvation one time. You don't have to keep coming over and over and over to Him for salvation. He was sacrificed one time. He's not still on the cross. He is alive, and we have forgiveness through His blood, right? In 1 John 1:7, "Then the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Now here's what I want you to see. Here's what I want you to see, right? Jesus Christ is our covering. He is our covering. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is what cleanses us. It's what forgives us of our sin. It's got to be the shedding of His blood. If Jesus did not die, or if Jesus died some other way and He didn't shed His blood, He's not the Savior. It said it has to come through the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ. If you remember back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve, the devil tempted Adam and Eve, and Eve ate of the fruit, gave it to her husband, he ate, sin entered into the world. If you remember what they did after that, after they had sinned, they sinned and they realized they were naked, right? And so they went out and they got some fig leaves and they covered themselves up. And God said, "No, that's your own works. That's no good. That's the false religions of the world. That's no good. What you need is a blood sacrifice." So He went, picture of Jesus Christ, He went and took off of two animals, their coats, their skins, and He clothed Adam and Eve. And I imagine that Adam and Eve, they're like, what is this coat here, right? And there's blood, right? You can see the blood, right? They didn't realize it, but it was a picture for us of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. It has to be the shedding of His blood, and He already did it. So here's the thing for you and I. It's no longer about a sin problem. It becomes a son problem. It becomes an S-O-N problem. 1 John 5:12, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life." Right? It becomes a son question. So what have you done with the Son? What have you done? What will you do with the Son? You receive Him as your Savior. He'll save you, take you to heaven when you die. See, it's not about our sins. It's not about how big our sins it is. It's all about Jesus Christ. He's already paid that penalty. And He says in John 14:6 that Jesus said to Him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." He is the only way. Again, He is that door. And John 1:12 tells us we got to receive Him. Hey, the only life that God gives is the everlasting life. It's the eternal life. He doesn't take it away. I want you to see something here. If you could turn over to John chapter 6, and we'll begin to wrap this up. In John chapter 6, you remember a guy by the name of Judas. God only gives eternal life. He only gives everlasting life. He doesn't take it away, and you cannot lose it, okay? In John chapter 6, in verse 67, so then said Jesus unto the 12, "Will ye also go away?" Then Simon Peter answered Him, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe that and are sure that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And listen, and one of you is a devil." He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray Him, being one of the 12. Hey, listen. He says, one of you is a devil. Judas. He's talking of Judas. Listen. Judas never had salvation. He was never saved. He was never born again. He walked with Jesus. He looked like Jesus, right? He looked like all the disciples. He dressed like Him. He talked like Him. He probably, you know, he went around and witnessed everything that Jesus did, but he never received him as the Savior. He was never saved. He was never born again. He did not lose his salvation. Listen, there's a lot of church members in the world that are going to die and go to hell. There are a lot of church members all around this world that are going to die, and in hell they will lift up their eyes because they had their names in the church roll, but they never had their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Why? Because they were trusting in something else. Listen to me. Don't be that prideful church member. Do not be that prideful church member that dies of a ripe old age and you were a good church member, and in hell you lift up in your eyes. Jesus wants to give you eternal life. He wants to give you everlasting life. You come to Him and He'll give it. Oh, but preacher, I'm worried about what people will say. I'm worried about what people... Don't worry about what people say. It doesn't matter what anybody would say. You know what I would say? If somebody came down as a church member to get saved, I would say, glory, hallelujah. Let me show you how to be saved. And the whole church will just be shouting and excited that you're saved. And in heaven, they'll be doing the same thing. Hey, listen, nobody is worth it to die and go to hell for. Okay? No church, no preacher, no pet. It doesn't matter what you think somebody might say. I am just going to glory with you in it. Okay? Do not be that member. Do not be that person. Do not carry that burden. Come to Jesus Christ. He will save you. He will give you everlasting life. He will give you eternal life. He will never take it away. Okay? In Matthew chapter 7, I talk about this a lot, but many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name, and in Thy name cast out devils, and in Thy name done many wonderful works? And you know what Jesus says. In verse 23, He says, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that worketh iniquity. Jesus never knew them. Hey, they were church members. Hey, they were baptized. Hey, they went soul winning. Hey, they taught Sunday school. Hey, they did all these things in the church, but Jesus never knew them. Throughout all the Scripture, there is never anybody who lost their salvation and had to be resaved. If you remember David in Psalm 51, he committed sin of adultery and sin of murder. But in Psalm 51, he says, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The joy. He didn't say, I need to be saved again. He said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation, because God was chastening him. God was giving him a whooping, right? He was reaping what he sowed, right? He says, I don't want to do this anymore. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. The Holy Spirit seals a person at salvation, abides with him forever. John 14:6, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. As I close here, the words, I'm born, I'm saved, I'm sealed, I'm redeemed, unregenerated, do not appear in the Bible. You cannot lose your salvation. Hey, the glorious truth of eternal life. The glorious truth of once saved, always saved. Hey, are you saved? If you don't know you're saved, you need to be saved today. If you are saved, are you living for the Lord? Are you living in light of eternity? Are you living with the very fact that Jesus can come back today? Are you doing all that you could do for Him and His glory and His kingdom? Eternal life, it's a gift. You can have it. And once you have it, it can't be taken away. Let's pray.